All right, ladies and gentlemen, another Carolina basketball season in the books. One that frankly makes us wonder what could have been for this year's Tar Heels. Tonight, myself, along with great player, as always, I'm going to start by discussing...
Good to be here.
Yeah. We're going to start by discussing 2011-2012 team's elimination from the NCAA tournament. And then we're going to move on a little bit after that, talk about the summer and talk about the next 2 weeks. We're kind of in a little bit of an in-between time right now. But then we've got some really exciting plans for this summer. And then we're gonna see how time is looking at the end, and we're gonna switch it up a little bit, do a little bit of fun question and answer, free form discussion, maybe based on some Klosterman questions. We'll kind of see how that goes at the end. But yes, that's kind of what we're looking at for tonight. So we're happy you're joining us, and let's go ahead and dive right in. Gray, what were your initial thoughts after that that last game against Kansas?
I think my head was absent of thoughts, mainly. I mean, it's kind of like the absence of fulfillment, you know what I mean? It's this hollow, empty feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens every time a season ends. You know, like, Carolina basketball has played 102 seasons, right? And all but five of them have ended in a loss. So...
Okay. You know, well, like six, if we're going to count all 102.
Six. So, you know, like, it's... But this season, certainly more disappointing than other seasons in past.
Yeah.
Would you say it's more disappointing than last season's loss?
Yeah. I mean, last season, we lost a close game against Kentucky when they started hitting a bunch of threes. But we had our best team out there. We were competing,
yeah.
And we lost the
yeah.
game. I mean, that's
like,
part
I
of
guess
basketball.
You can, I guess you can look at it on a micro and a macro level. Like, were you game-wise, were you more disappointed last year or this year? And then, like, the way that it played out season-wise, tournament-wise.
Oh,
like,
I see. Okay, so yeah, from that perspective, I wasn't as disappointed this year because we were kind of... maybe overachieving a little bit with our third-string point guard against... Like, even being in that game with our third-string point guard,
impressive.
I mean...
It was impressive.
Right. So, I mean, we knew that we were kind of... We could be nearing the end and that... You know,
everybody felt that, for sure.
Yeah. So, I agree. Yeah. So just from the actual game, I probably was more disappointed last year, but the expectations for this season as a whole were much higher.
Yeah. I think I was more disappointed last year in the game, like in the micro sense, because we were hot and I thought we could have beat Kentucky.
Right.
And this year it's more of like, man, they just, you know, it's sad, and it, you know, it sucks that we didn't get to put our best team out on the floor and see if we could win a national championship. I mean, that's all anybody ever wants. I mean, of course you want to win, but like, you know. The next thing after winning is to, like, know that you played your best team and they just didn't make the plays when they needed to, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of what happened against Kansas. I mean, sure, we had our third-string point guard, but we, you know, we turned the ball over a couple of really bad instances there with about 10 minutes ago, and they just pulled out and had a little lead. It was four or five possessions in a row that they scored and we didn't, and that was it. And you can't do that. Can't do that in the tournament. So.
No, we certainly were in the game. I think it was until maybe 6 minutes left, I think, we were kind of still in that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little less than that. I mean, it seemed like that one play where Henson got blocked, in quotation marks. And then
there was no joke.
Yeah.
And then I and one on the other side.
Right. That was kind of the final dagger there, I think, that put us out of the game.
I don't want to say that I'm not one to complain about the refs, because I do. Obviously, we're talking about it right now. But, like, that was just kind of... You're like, man. I mean, there's some discrepancy between the calls that are made on those two plays.
Yeah.
So, and there are different refs making the calls, but, you know, still. I don't know. I just... It didn't leave me with a great feeling, so...
Right. I mean, it was an unfortunate end. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about... Negative talk about Harrison Barnes.
There has been. Yeah, let's speak on that for a little bit. What are your feelings towards, I guess, number one, Harrison Barnes' postseason tournament, and then number two, his season as a whole?
Yeah, I think he had a good season on the whole. Not a spectacular season, but a very good season. I mean, he was first-team All-ACC. He averaged, 17
probably,
points?
Probably shouldn't have been.
Maybe not, but you, but,
yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But, I mean, he certainly had a good season.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly struggled shooting the ball in the tournament. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of people are questioning kind of his, I don't know, his mental state or his effort. And those are things that I always have a hard time judging. It's hard to know. I mean, effort, to some extent, you can see. But a lot of the time, I think effort gets associated with good play. And sometimes, you know, you're actually trying, but not playing well.
Right. Like, he got that put back. That was great effort. But if it doesn't go in, then you're just like, oh, idiot. You know what I mean?
So I think it's a little harsh right now. And I think people are a little upset about how it ended. I think there's some validity to it.
Sure.
But I kind of feel like I'm on the defense a little bit for him.
I don't think about Harrison Barnes that much. He's never been a player that I've been in love with. He's never been a favorite of mine. I have favorites that I love on Carolina basketball teams. And you know, I've said all along that I think that Harrison Barnes' individual skill is masked a little bit in Roy Williams' offense because it's so systematic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's doesn't allow for a lot of kind of free exposure and, you know, the ability to kind of like create shots for yourself. And it's just, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot going on instead of just, you know, you're not playing a pickup game where apparently Harrison Barnes just owns people. You know, like you hear the reports during summer camps where he's just owning like Juwad Williams and people like that. And so, you know, yeah. So, I mean, I've always felt like, you know, Harrison Barnes was never going to show up and be a 40-point scorer. He did it once against Clemson last year in the ACC tournament.
Yeah. Well, 40-point scorer. I mean,
40. That's what I said. I said 40.
No, I know. But, I mean, that's going to be rare for anybody.
Right. No, but you know, like, we kind of needed 30 points from Harrison Barnes against Kansas, you know, and he didn't show up.
Sure.
And that's the thing is, like, his MO has always been like, I show up in the big moments, you know, like I feel comfortable. If I've missed every shot and they drop the last second shot for me, I feel comfortable taking it. And I feel confident I'm going to make it because I play for those big moments. Well, this whole game was a big moment, the Kansas game especially, and Harrison Barnes turned in a goose egg.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, he did hit some shots once he got going. And, I mean, I saw one person make a point that they basically switched to a defense to take Barnes out of
triangle,
the game.
Triangle two,
which is something that Barnes would have seen in high school when you have one or two really good backcourt players. You try to take them out of the game and try and make other people score. And so you could argue that once they switch to that defense that someone else needs to be the one taking shots or making shots, and Reggie and Stillman both missed a couple each,
three-pointers. There's been a lot of conversation about, you know, Coach Williams not being the best in-game coach and not being able to adjust when they threw the triangle in two against us. So, I don't know. I can't speak on that. I don't know enough about basketball, but, you know, I think it came down to we just got unlucky and didn't make plays, and they did, and that happened in four or five consecutive possessions that gave them a margin that was unsurmountable. So,
I mean, and Kansas is a team that would have been capable of beating us, you know, with Kendall Marshall out there. I mean,
not probable, but capable. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think we would have been favored, is what I'm saying.
No, we certainly would have been favored, of course. But they're a good team.
They're a good team. Are you going to watch any other games?
Probably. I really just want Kentucky to lose for some reason.
Yeah, I think the only game that I have an interest in watching is like the second half of the Louisville-Kentucky game, if it's close. But yeah. Really, I mean, I could really care less from now on. I don't know. I'm just like that. Like, I just, you know, I don't really like Ohio State or care about them. I don't really like Kansas or care about them. I don't really like Louisville or Kentucky. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I may watch it if I'm like some kind of social event where everyone's watching it. But I don't. If I'm by myself. I don't know what I'll do. But yeah, I would love for Louisville to beat Kentucky. That'd be nice.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a great storyline. Patino's old team. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and they're repeating what Connecticut did last year by winning the Big East tournament and then going on this miraculous run to the Final Four. So, and then it was Connecticut that took out Kentucky last year. It was Connecticut.
Yep.
So you've got almost the exact replica of the Big East champion winning four games. Connecticut won five games in 5 days in the Big East tournament. Louisville won four games in 4 days in the Big East tournament, but they're made a run, and now they're playing Kentucky, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, just for a little bit, I'm going to pull up Draft Express here, and I'm going to tell you where the Heels are, and you tell me whether you think they stay or go.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. The first one is number 7, Harrison Barnes.
Barnes is the hardest one for me.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I don't care if he goes or stays. We have plenty
of players. Is it if I want him to stay or go, or do I think he'll stay or go?
Do you think?
But
now that you brought it up, do you want him to?
I want him to stay, yeah.
You want him to stay? Oh, mm-hmm. I want him to go.
I think it's going to depend. I think it might depend what other people do. Like, for example, if... I don't think Marshall's going to go, but if he were to go.
Word on the street is that Marshall's going.
He is going.
That's word on the street.
Interesting.
So, we'll get to him. So, since you have stated that you think they're interrelated, I'll give you them.
Yeah.
So 7 is Harrison Barnes. 8 is John Henson.
Mm-hmm.
11, Tyler Zeller. You think he's staying? and then 15 is Kendall Marshall.
Okay. So they have him just outside lottery? What is lottery, 14?
I think lottery is 14. And Draft Express has James McAdoo in the later first round.
Okay.
Just in front of Mason Plumlee. But I've seen him as high as the top 5.
I have too, actually.
So...
I mean, McAdoo would be stupid to leave, in my opinion.
And I think he's already declared that he's staying.
That's good. I think Henson... I think all three of the sophomores and junior could benefit from staying. I think Henson has the best chance of doing well right out of college, of the three.
Sure.
He's so long, he'll still be able to block shots and rebound even if he doesn't score that much. Marshall's a toss-up because, I mean, they would have to buy into him a little bit as not being a scoring point guard. I think someone would certainly give him a shot. I think it's just hard to know how well he'll do.
Sure.
He's an awesome college point guard. He could be a great NBA point guard, but it's not obvious to me. And then Barnes is definitely not obvious how well he's going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you seem to think, based on hearing things about his one-on-one play and his pickup play, that it sounds like you think he's going to do well.
I think he's going to do well, yeah. I don't know if... I mean, I don't think he's going to be Jordan or anything like that, but I think he's going to be... I think he'll have a prosperous NBA career.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think he'll... You know, I think he'll be fine. I don't think he'll have any problems staying in the NBA.
Do you think that people are going to have a negative view of Barnes' legacy at Carolina if he leaves?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Even though he's in the Raptors, I do.
I kind of feel that way, too, for some reason. I mean,
and that's another reason. I mean, both Marshall and Henson do not have their jersey in the Raptors to this point in time, and probably won't, so...
Even though Marshall got third team, that doesn't count?
Did not qualify him.
Okay.
Did not qualify him. So let me...
Award, would that... Do we know? Did we ever find that out?
We did not ever find that out.
Okay.
But we will.
Because he's got to be, you know.
And that'll be announced this weekend, so yeah. we can speak on it next week. So let me read you another one. Harrison Barnes going 5. This is NBADraft.net. Barnes going 5 to Toronto. Then Kendall Marshall going 13th to Utah.
Yeah.
And then John Henson going 16th to Jay-Z's Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
And Tyler Zeller going 17th to the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see McAdoo on here anywhere. So I think they've taken into account that he's declared that he's staying.
Sure.
So
yeah, I mean, I don't think it changes a whole lot based on where they are because they're all top 15 either way.
Yeah. You think? So what are you thinking?
Well, now I mean, I hadn't heard that Marshall was likely or
seriously considering going.
Okay. I actually thought Marshall would stay. I really did.
Yeah, I did too until I heard that as well. you know, I think that, I think like, hey man, test the water if you really want to see what it's like. Try to get some feedback on your play. Yeah. Although he can't do it because he's injured, so that's a negative. But,
and maybe that's part of the reason he wants to go.
I guess, because he's injured. I don't know. I'd like to see him stay. I'd love to see Henson stay. Mm-hmm. I don't care if Barnes stays or not. I actually would prefer him to go. We just have a log jam at the wing.
I think
there's other great players like Leslie McDonald. Hopefully he's going to be back and in good form. Dex is going to be back and in good form. Reggie Bullock, PJ Harrison. I mean, we're rolling out. That's going to be our rotation that rolls out and plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you heard anything on the UConn kid that's transferring?
Yeah.
I know that we're likely a team that's going to pursue it, but I don't know how many. I'm sure everyone wants
him. Has yet to contact him, apparently.
Okay. Because that would be an awesome pickup.
Yeah. I mean, especially if John Henson. I think we're waiting to hear John Henson officially tell Roy that he's going to go, which, you know, those conversations are scheduled to happen at the end of this week, so... I think if John Henson's like, coach, I'm definitely going, then, you know, they'll call that guy. And you don't think
that we would still go for him even if Henson stays?
I don't know. I mean, you've got two other, you know,
well, we could redshirt one of the freshmen.
You could. I mean, that's
I just
true.
Feel like big guys take a year or two to really develop, more so than guards do.
I'm assuming you're talking about Alex Oriaki.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to say Okiaki, but that's, Oriaki.
Yes, Oriaki Jr. Mm-hmm. North Carolina has not yet made contact. However, North Carolina is a school they're interested in. North Carolina is definitely on our radar. I know a lot of the big boys are leaving this year, so we'll see what happens. He really wants to play in the tournament. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line, especially his final year of college. College isn't like the pros. It's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. You have to be able to enjoy your college career. So it sounds like they're interested. And they're waiting to hear.
Yeah, that would be.
But you know, Henson. If Henson leaves and we don't pick up somebody, we're gonna be thin inside.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna be guard heavy.
And a freshman's gonna have to start and play well. I think about McAdoo having to start at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, you know? No, I hear you.
It would have been rough.
A nightmare. It would have been a nightmare. So, yeah, I mean, like, good thing, good news is we get to talk about that for the weeks to come.
Yeah.
So why don't you recap the big press conference this week that Navy by Nature had?
Yeah.
Announcing their summer schedule.
Yeah. So, well, one thing that we didn't mention in the press conference, but is definitely happening this summer is some coverage of the European Championships.
Yeah.
Soccer Championships.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
So that's obviously the big European international tournament. The qualifying finished last year, and the groups were established. So there's 16 teams.
I guess we can get into it later because it starts July. But is there any reason to think that Spain isn't gonna win?
Well, this is the European Championships in June.
June. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
June through July, right?
I think July 1st, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Spain is going to be the favorite, but Germany and Netherlands, as they've been the last few years, are still really good. Yeah. And England will be a sleeper that everyone will talk about and then probably lose really early.
Yeah, as they do, as one does.
Yeah, probably lose in a shootout to, like, Portugal the first, like, elimination round.
Yep, Sweet 16.
Well, I guess it would be, I guess it goes straight to Elite Eight, because it's 16 teams to start.
Oh, yeah, okay then.
So, all right, then. Quarterfinals or whatever.
So, okay, and then big announcements on Olympic coverage about sports that they're going to focus on. We're gonna focus on.
Yeah. So me and Gray feel like, you know, there's a lot of coverage on kind of the major news from the major news sources about some of the major sports, basically.
Which we'll talk about.
We'll certainly talk about.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll certainly look at the result. Talk about the track and field. Some of the swimming, that's always exciting. But we felt like there's a lot of underrepresented sports in the Olympics that really need a little more coverage, and that we feel like there's a place that people are interested in this kind of thing. So we've made a list of
six
some teams,
sports.
Six sports that we're really going to focus on. Okay. And Gray, do you want to go through that list?
Yeah, just off the top of my head, because I don't have it in front of me, and I know I don't have that press release in front of me. I know that archery is a big one.
Yep.
I know that fencing, both canoeing events,
slalom and sprint.
Slalom, yeah, which we'll cover in full detail. gymnastics, trampoline. Which is easily the most intriguing one for me. And then we had to pick only one horse event, so we picked the equestrian jumping specifically.
We were really stressed out about that, trying to figure out which horse event to choose. We decided that the equestrian jumping had the biggest draw.
The competition's a little tighter there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of countries that can put out some great jumping horses. So, you know, we thought that would be the most entertaining.
With some of the other horse events, it's kind of the same old dogs every year, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same people that have been winning it every year. This is there's a little more parity in the equestrian jumping, you know?
Yeah, no, and I mean, anything can happen. It's not like you're just showing your horse, you know what I mean? Like, you're physically competing, you know, time-wise, and, you know, like, form-wise, so there's pressure on a performance, so we're really excited, very excited to bring you coverage of that. And then the sixth sport, can you remember?
Handball,
yeah, team right? Handball, I think so, yeah, we wanted to cover a team sport, and handball is one that, so I think the real benefit of this, and what we saw was that we'll have a chance to do a lot of preliminary research around these sports, and then get everyone caught up, or kind of preview everyone on what to watch for, who to watch for, what handball teams to watch for,
right.
who's previously been the best trampoliner, and is there a new young trampolining stud that's rising in the ranks that's really could challenge a well-established trampoliner? So I think that it's gonna be really good. It's gonna be really good. So that kind of covers, and then, you know, Bachelor Pad starts 2 weeks from this past Monday, so we'll have one more podcast next week. We'll probably talk a lot about Carolina basketball and maybe do some classroom and questions, and then we'll be done, so, or we'll be ready for Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, we can maybe start, I think, we won't have had our spring game yet. Football.
No.
So that's a couple weeks later.
April 5th in Charlotte is the first one, and then I think the next weekend in Chapel Hill. So, all right, so Julian, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Boy, do I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I guess it's a scenario. So your best friend, me, obviously, is taking a nap on the floor of your living room, and suddenly you're faced with a bizarre existential problem. He in this case, is going to die unless you kick the slumbering friend as hard as you can in the ribcage.
Yeah.
If you don't do this, they will never wake up. However, you can never explain your actions to them. If you later inform them that you did kick them in the ribs as hard as you can to save their life, then I would die from that.
Yeah.
From you telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kick the sleeping friend in the rib cage, and you cannot explain why. Since you cannot tell your friend the truth, what excuse do you fabricate to explain this seemingly inexplicable attack? So, and let's go ahead and stipulate that I am aware that you have kicked me. You know what I mean? Because, like,
you
could say I'm sleeping, and then I'm just like, whoa, what happened? But, like, I'm aware that
you just got kicked.
And you're standing on top of me.
Okay.
So I know that you kicked me in the ribs as hard as you could.
Do I have how much time do I have before I have to kick you?
I don't know. It's not stipulated. Why would that matter?
Well, because I was going to get a prop.
Like padding?
No. What I was going to do is I was just going to get a liquor bottle. This is what I would do. I'd get a liquor bottle. I'd dump it out. Drink or have it so it's almost empty. And I wouldn't drink any of it. And then I would kick you as hard as I could. And stand over you with the liquor bottle.
Yeah.
And just pretend to be drunk.
Yeah. That's brilliant. I mean, really all done brilliant. I would have never thought of that. And even you could kick and then fall over and be like, oh, I tripped and I kicked you really hard in the ribs. I mean, and now I'm too drunk to take you to the hospital for your broken ribs now. But that's the only problem is you can't take them to get their ribs fixed immediately after that.
Oh, because you're so drunk. Well, they could call a friend.
I think I could tell if you were being fake drunk.
Yeah, but...
So, would you drink...
It's a weird situation.
You drink the liquor bottle first. If you have enough time.
No, I wasn't ever planning on drinking it, because I wanted to really get my kick right.
I think you should.
Maybe just a couple shots. So it's more believable? Is that your point?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you don't think I can pull off pretending to be drunk?
I think I would be able to tell. Your best friend, whoever it is, would be able to tell.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really have an answer to that one.
Oh.
But I think I would kick, and then, you know, I think I would have to just pretend like I, like, fell. I tripped over. I would put a prop in front and pretend like I fell and that I just followed through and just booted you in the ribs and that I was, like, face first on the ground. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, it was so crazy what happened.
Yeah.
And you'd be furious, obviously, but, you know, we'd get over it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, so we both decide the props are the way to go.
And that we'd lie about the intentionality.
I think you have to lie. Well, because telling the truth, is there any case... He dies.
No. Is there any case where you can say, I intentionally kicked you in the ribs and then you had a mosquito on your ribs?
I mean, you're already half lying. So, I mean, you might as well just fully lie. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you're withholding information about really why you're kicking him, so you might as well all in on the lie.
It's a good point, as I've heard. It's a good point, as I've heard. All right. Question from you.
I'll stick with the same kind of general theme about not being able to tell anyone else.
I like that.
Okay, so, but this is going to be a money situation where... How much money would it take for you to wear pink gloves all the time
for a year?
And you can never explain to anybody why you're wearing the gloves. You can just say that you like wearing them. Even in the summertime. Just two pink gloves.
I think we said this before, but it was something else. It was like...
It was a pink car. I've asked you that before, I think.
Yeah, I feel like there was one that was even worse than that. It was like, you have to wear, like, the same pink pair of, like, really tight jeans or something. every single day. You have to wear the same outfit every day. And people... Because the thing is, like, we wouldn't be able to function in society that way.
No. The point is we have to be paid a lot.
Right. Well, yeah, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I would lose my job if I wore... Well, not maybe, okay, pink gloves, maybe not. and it would be harder to type, so it wouldn't be as effective.
No, they're really, like, thin gloves.
Oh, ergonomic. Okay, good, okay.
So you can still type pretty
okay,
well.
Okay, so I'm effective, and, yeah. What color pink are we talking?
Like what a magenta? Do you like less?
Or like a, I think magenta would be the worst.
Okay.
I think a pale pink would be like, it's kind of skin.
It's still weird. Tone. It's still really weird.
Yeah, but it's skin tone-ish. It's like.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think that someone would have to pay me. I think I'd have to be walking away with, certainly over $1 million.
Yeah.
I think maybe. Maybe $10 million.
$10 million?
$10 million.
So much money.
But it's a lot of money.
I think I agree.
It has to be over $1 million, right?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has to be over $1 million. Because you can never even explain people, once it's over why you did it.
Right.
So it's just like, if there's any pictures, like, your wife would be like, why were you wearing those pink gloves?
Yeah.
Like, I liked wearing them for a year.
Yeah, and then she'd really be weird. Like, but you're rich, so.
Yeah, whatever. But there would still be.
Yeah, you have to live with that until the day you die.
Yeah.
And not only do you have to live with the pink gloves until the day you die, you have to live with the fact that that secret, you can't tell anybody. I think that might be the worst part.
Yeah.
But you physically can't tell anyone.
Can't tell anybody.
Anyone.
No.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna. I think I'm leaning more towards the $10 million range now.
I think $10 million, something that would set me up comfortably for life that I could live off the interest of.
Yeah. I guess if you really thought it through, you could kind of move somewhere for that year and just not be in any pictures or anything. And then come back.
Or switch jobs and work from home, do something working from home.
Well, you don't even have to work. Well, I guess it depends when you get payment. Depends when you get payment.
No, you're not getting paid until afterwards.
Okay. That's probably a better way to do it.
So, you would have to work from home, I think.
Yeah.
And they're going to be hot. I mean, Lord, you'd have to move somewhere cold.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine pink gloves in Raleigh in the summertime?
I could not.
Sweaty. What are they made out of? Suede? Leather? Hot. Hot.
Yeah, hot all material. Hot. So, I mean, I guess the best thing to do is to move to, like, Alaska for a year and work from home. Don't get any pictures taken of you, then come back.
Nope. Can you wear other gloves on top of them?
No.
Shoot. Okay. Because I was going to say, if you go to Alaska, you just put some mittens over those bad boys.
Yeah.
And just live by yourself and read a lot. Just read a lot, not have any friends. Video chat with people without your hands showing.
Yeah.
Alright, I got one.
Okay.
We're both of us are in a plane crash in the Andes Mountains. Not unlike the 1972 Uruguayan rugby team.
I thought it was a Colombian soccer team.
Uruguayan rugby team.
Okay.
1972. A team who experienced this situation in reality.
Okay.
As such, you will be forced to consume the human flesh of the people who died on impact.
Yeah.
This will be a terrible experience, but it's the only way for you to survive. Fortunately, you did not know any of the victims personally. You don't know them. You don't know them. Questions. Who would you rather eat? A dead baby or an elderly person?
They're both dead already.
They're already dead.
Well, how many people are eating?
I don't have the answers to those questions.
Is it just me? How many people am I eating?
Let's talk about you. You have to survive.
Well, I'm saying if there's five of us eating, the older person's bigger.
Well, which would you rather eat is the question.
The baby, probably.
You're gonna physically eat a baby.
Well, old person is skin. Right.
Here's the thing for me. I can't watch old people eat. Let alone would I be able to eat one of them.
I'm not sure that's going to be the thing that's in your mind.
Oh, people are just, they gross me out. Baby. I'm going to have to go baby.
But yeah, I mean.
Especially because I don't like babies anyway. I feel like this is a harder
they're
going to
be really fatty, the baby.
Yeah. Not a lot of muscle. Yeah.
But neither do the old person. They don't have
wings. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of babies to fill me up.
I just feel like eating, I mean, okay, obviously both is probably not healthy, but it just feels like eating an old person would make you really sick.
Yeah, yeah, you would incur all of their diseases naturally. Question two, would gender play a role in the selection process?
I kind of feel like I'd rather eat a woman.
Oh, I think I gotta go guy. I would feel really bad eating a girl baby.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a girl baby.
No, I feel like it'd be tastier.
You feel like it'd be tastier, which leads me into our final question. How much would it bother you if it turned out to be delicious?
I don't know. Not that. I don't think it'd bother me that much.
You gotta live with this for the rest of your life.
We're eating it raw, right?
Yeah.
Are we making a fire? Yeah.
Let's say we're eating it raw. And you have to tell this story. It gets made into a movie. You have to live with it for the rest of your life.
Would it bother me if it tasted good?
Yeah.
I don't think it would bother me. I just don't think I would tell people that.
You're at a cocktail party and some guys are like, I can't believe you went through that, man. And you're like, I gotta tell you, wasn't half bad.
Well, if you hear the tribe people from Papua New Guinea that used to eat people, they say it tastes like pig.
Okay.
They call people long pig when they ate it.
Long pig, yeah.
But, I mean, that was cooked.
So not the same as raw baby. You're going with a little girl baby.
Yeah.
Raw. Where do you start?
Well, I mean, I'd rather cook it.
But yeah, no, you can't. You can't. Where do you start cutting?
I'd probably start with a leg.
A leg, yeah. Break it off.
Yeah. Where would you start?
I don't know, the buttocks, maybe.
That's actually not a horrible decision. Hopefully, they didn't just recently go to the, you know, need to be changed.
Well, yeah, we don't know that. I mean, they were crashed. They crashed in a plane accident.
Are they intact?
Just dead? Yeah, I think that would make a difference. If it's not intact, I wouldn't feel as bad about it. Like, if I don't have to rip the leg off of a baby child.
I wonder what that's, how bad that is for your health to just, well, I mean, I guess it depends how fresh.
Yeah, this is fresh. These guys died. They're fresh.
Why do you, that begs the question, if they're fresh, why have you already resorted to eating them?
If it's only been a few hours. You know you're going to have to.
You don't wait it out at all.
No, you're like, we might as well eat them while they're fresh so we don't get diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
So we're talking about eating, essentially, chicken wings here.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, babies.
Yeah. I mean, old people are just too gross.
They are disgusting. I mean, I can't...
Never eat one.
Made me sick to my stomach. Alright, you got any more questions or are we done?
I have one more.
Hit me with it, and then we'll wrap it up for these fine folks at home.
Alright, I'll throw out a relationship one.
Oh yeah.
So you're dating this girl.
Yes.
She is, you know where I'm going? She's perfect. In every way.
Sweet.
10 out of 10 for looks. Super sweet.
She's
really
a dime
funny.
Piece. Certified
oh, yeah.
dime piece? Wow.
Yep.
I've done well.
So she's really cool. Everyone loves her. So once you pay her a surprise visit at her house, and as you're walking up to the house, you see her through the window.
Yeah.
And she's on her hands and knees playing with little toy ponies. And you go inside, and you question her about it, and she just says, that's something that I really like doing when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Would you break up with her?
No, absolutely not. No, I have no problems with that. No problems.
What if she denied it completely? So you asked her about it, and she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's such a small thing in relationships.
Is it? She plays with a little with little ponies, and then she lies about
when
it.
When she's by herself.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's not a bother to me.
Not a bother.
I sit here and make a podcast every week with you about The Bachelorette. So, you know.
I don't know if I put that.
You think those are equivalent?
No.
I think they could be equivalent.
I think one of them makes you, like, maybe have a psychological disorder, and the other one...
Oh, yeah, not. Well, that's true. I mean, like, if you're thinking about future implications of, like...
Like, this is a girl you want to marry, you know, up to this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think if she acts completely normal around you...
But wouldn't you wonder, like, what am I getting myself into?
I'd keep dating for a while, see how it went. You know, like, I'd give it another... I'd extend my timeline, for sure.
Okay, so what if you were already engaged and the wedding was a month away?
Jeez. That's a better question. Yeah, I would come in and I'd be like, are you serious? And then she'd be like, what? No, I don't play with ponies. That's ridiculous. And I'd be like...
Would you feel comfortable leaving your kids at home with her?
Yeah, I mean, they're like little, they're like ponies, but alive. I mean, at least she likes playing with them.
I think that I would break up with her.
Yeah, well, you're a shallow asshole.
I don't think that's being shallow.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. That's just, I mean, like, there's other things you could have. I think there's other things that would bother me more.
Right.
Like,
but I think, well, go ahead, but I kind of like the fact that it's subtle, but just makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, when you're thinking about spending the rest of your life with them.
I don't know, Julian, we're getting old, man. I mean, playing with little ponies is something you gotta be willing to accept these days. I gotta tell you. I'm a 26 and a half year old man.
Yeah. More than 26 and a half.
I'm a little bit more. Speaking of, special shout out, my puppy turned 6 months old yesterday.
Oh, happy half birthday, Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, I got him a little bone and he got a new collar. It was sweet.
Is it a Carolina collar?
No, it's actually royal blue with some white stitching on it.
Royal blue.
Yeah. I mean, the choices weren't great.
Okay.
So, I'm taking ponies. Me and ponies are doing it. We're going to make it in this world.
All right. No, because I respect you, you know, sticking it out.
Just because, like, I would have had so many other conversations with her about that were, like, really serious in nature that I feel like she would be offering me. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I know her. I know her well.
But then
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So it wouldn't undermine what you thought of her
by seeing her play
with the ponies.
It would if she denied it.
Okay. So that makes a difference to you.
That does make a difference to me.
Yeah.
If she didn't deny it, then I'd be like, fine. Totally cool with it. Totally cool. 100% fine with you having a strange hobby of playing with ponies.
Okay.
Is she making sounds and stuff?
Yeah. Like, she's legit playing with the ponies.
Yeah.
Like, making them talk to each other.
Yeah, like, pony talk. She's pony talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, brushing their hair.
If she denied it, I'd be like, this is weird. But, I don't know. I mean, you can always get help for that sort of thing. You know, there's antipsychotic drugs, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
if she's normal every time she's around you.
Yeah, you just gotta wonder if that's gonna change. If she took ownership of it and then was like, this is a problem that I have, that's the only time where I consider sticking it out. If she took ownership and was just like, but I just like doing it, I'm going to keep doing it, I'd be like, nope. And if she denied it, I would definitely be like, nope, I'm out. Denying is definitely the worst situation.
Yeah, you don't want to deny that. I don't know. Well, all I gotta say is that if there's any girls out there that have a really strange hobby of playing with horses, and they're perfect dime pieces, that, you know, I'm available.
As long as you don't deny it.
As long as you don't deny it. If you deny it, then... I mean, everybody's into weird stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's just acceptable levels of weird.
It's not that weird, though.
It's pretty weird.
It's not that
it's
weird.
It's pretty weird. Like a 25-year-old, like, really into playing with ponies.
I guess I'm having trouble imagining how into playing with ponies she is.
Really into it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for me to picture that.
She, like, acts out stories.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. I know the words that you're saying that are coming out of your mouth, but it's hard for me to imagine a 25-year-old.
Because it's that weird. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. If I saw it, I'm going to put the stipulation that if I saw it, it might change how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Because if I saw it and saw how weird it was and that was an actualization of my life, then I might be like, this is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think I had any more.
No, I'm good.
You good? Good.
Yeah. I've got one more, but I'll save it for next week.
Okay, I got a good one. This is a good one. It's real short. Real short. Okay. All right. You got the choice between two rewards. The first one is to be twice as intelligent as you are right now. So you can read twice as fast, remember twice as much, the size of your vocabulary doubles, and you'll be able to solve intellectual problems with twice your current aptitude and in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
The second choice reward is that you'll never feel sick ever again. Even when you are sick, you won't feel sick. And you can always be whatever weight you want, regardless of what you eat or how little you exercise. You can simply imagine the body that you want to have, and that weight you will magically become.
Mm.
Which one do you choose?
This actually isn't hard for me at all. I would choose the first one.
Oh, second one for me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't need to be
I don't
smarter.
Really feel sick. Very often.
Yeah, see, I'm sickly. I'm a really sickly man. Like, I've got allergies.
And I like exercising, and I like eating good food.
Yeah, I like exercising, too, but I don't want to have to do it. And I have to maintain.
Yes, I feel like I'd rather be forced to exercise. I don't know.
I mean, like, I don't know. What's being twice as smart going to get you?
Sometimes I forget things.
Is it a big deal?
No. Neither one is a big deal.
Like, do you find your conversations non-fulfilling?
No.
Would you rather have more fulfilling intellectual conversations?
It's something about fulfillment. I mean, those are both, like, you know, bonuses. But either one would be.
I'm
fine with my life in both areas.
See, that's the problem. That's the thing for me is that, like, I feel sick a lot. Like, just stuffy. My nose is stuffy all the time. Like, like every single day of the year.
Like sinus problems?
Yeah, like sinus problems. And you know, I gotta run to keep it tight. To keep this figure tight. And I don't like running that much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know. There's some things about my body that just are super inconvenient.
Yeah, so. I mean, you're obviously fine though.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, okay.
It's not like you have to exercise like every day.
Yeah, but you can eat whatever you want.
I don't think I want to just. What are you implying that I should eat like really like. Like, eat a lot of junk food.
Yeah, you can eat, like, a whole bag of Doritos every day.
I would rather eat, like, healthy food.
Okay. You think it tastes better?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's hard, but part of the reason is, like, it makes me feel better, you know? Like, I feel healthier.
Right. In this situation, it does not make you feel better. It makes you feel neutral. You always feel
It's hard for me
great.
To separate the food...
I hear you.
Like, the taste of the food from, like, the after effect of the food.
Yeah. See, I have no problem doing that, because I'll tell you, if I could eat, you know, Jell-O, chocolate pudding, and, you know, pizza every night, I would do. I mean, I would just
eat a lot of pizza.
Oh, chips and chips? I would eat a whole bag of, well, that kind of makes me feel gross the next day.
But no, in this situation.
Oh, that's true. I wouldn't feel unhealthy. Yeah, man, that would just be so much fun. And you could physically, like, win a lot of eating contests, because you would never feel sick, you know what I'm saying, no matter how much you ate.
But you would still feel full.
But you don't feel nauseous full, you just feel full.
I guess. It's hard. It's hard for me to really.
Yeah, do you like having, having a scratchy throat?
I don't get scratchy throats very often.
Right. You better knock on some wood.
But it's probably because I eat healthy.
It's all coming back to the eating healthy. Okay. Alright, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, we've established that I'm sickly.
Oh. Thanks for being vulnerable about that, Gray.
Really? I mean, just like, you know, these listeners have been with us through so much. I feel like I feel like they deserve that vulnerability. Like, and it just feels so good to be able to be open again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I was kind of, like, shut down for a while. Kind of like Ice King for a little bit. And,
Like
an Ice King, you know? And then just to feel those walls, like, come down, it feels really good to love podcast listeners that way.
Yeah. It's kind of like you just talked about...
To be vulnerable. Again.
You kind of just talked about, you know, the equivalent of you playing with a pony. To the listeners.
Well, really, I was just trying to parody The Bachelor, so...
Okay. I mean, I kind of got that.
Yeah, okay. Don't say, oh, I kind of got that, like I didn't do a good job.
Well, no, I'm saying that I probably...
How great of a job did I do, listener?
Maybe if I should have... Maybe if I was twice as smart as I am.
Hang on. Fred, how good of a job... Yeah, he got it. He definitely got it.
No, it's on me. If I was twice as smart as I am...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Fred's back here in the booth, and he knew exactly what I was doing immediately.
Right, because I'm not... That's what I'm saying. That's why I would choose the smartness.
You can't hang with me. You can't hang with my jokes.
I know.
All right. Well, I think this is where we sign off.
I think so, too.
Listeners, thanks for listening this week. We'll have some updates about the UNC basketball players and their decisions to abandon their fan bases or not. And, you know, next week we'll do a couple more questions. And then, you know, the next week after that we'll have some Bachelor Pat to talk about. So, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. And hope you have a great rest of the week.
One of us won't last the night. Between you and me, it's no surprise. There's two of us.